Blog Talk Radio.
As we continue to look at this, you know,
know, I want to say greetings to everyone in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the master name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. Go ahead and do our statement of faith. And I heard that up there in Minnesota, Sister Denise, that you guys got like 8 inches of snow.
You know what's so amazing about that? You look out, and it's 50 degrees.
It's 50 degrees, and y'all still got that amount of snow?
Yeah, we got the snow last night. Today, it's
around
50 degrees, like 30 bothers.
Amen. So hopefully it's going to all melt away real soon then.
It is melting.
Amen. Amen and amen. All right. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this evening. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you and we glorify you on this day and we lift you up. We magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. We magnify your name. For you are Elohim and you are Elohim all by yourself, Father. And so another we will not bow down to or worship, but you and to you alone and we give our adoration to you. So glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. Glory, 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 glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. And our scripture for tonight, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. The book of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen. And amen. All right, we are going to pick this up where we left off this morning. And on this morning, we were looking at the book of Matthew and the book of Ezekiel. And the Most High was showing us through Messiah that he was showing us that his heart, his laws, commandments, his judgment, that his heart, that's the way he feels about things. That's the way he governs things. That's the way he rules on things. And he wants us to have his heart. And so one of the scriptures, I believe it was in Ezekiel 31, just a second, so I don't misquote this. Just a second, please. Let's see. So I'm kind of ad-libbing here. Let me go back and get this. I believe it's Ezekiel 31, could be 32. Let's see. Just a sec. Where did I put that reference at? Good grief. One moment. Going through my notes, see where I have this at.
Brother Miles, I think it's Jeremiah 31:31.
That was about the new covenant. I'm looking for the part that we read where he said that we have to obey his judgment. And if that's 31:31, then let me look at that. Hold on a second. To what I had. Let's go to Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18 is what I'm looking for, my sister, but thank you. Ezekiel chapter 18. This is kind of where we left off in here. And I was saying that the Most High said that he gives us what his qualifications are. And even in the New Testament, this didn't change. Telling us who he will pardon and who he won't, and who he considers to be righteous and who he doesn't. So let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 18, starting in verse 1. And the word of Yah came unto me again, saying, what mean you that use the proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? And I told you that in the scripture, I didn't tell you, but the scripture said that, you know, that the person, the individual person is going to be held responsible for their own sin. So this is what he's talking about in this when he says that the fathers have eaten the sour grape and the children's feet are set on edge. What do you mean by this? Why are you saying this? Verse 3. As I live, saith Yah Elohim, you shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. Now, the Most High had always said that he would curse your generation, your children, even unto the fourth generation of them that hate me. Okay? And so you could do something that caused your children to be cursed under the law. And then in Ezekiel, he says, you're not going to be able to use this proverb anymore. And many of us, in the Americas, up under the curses, said that we're up under generational curses, okay? When the Most High said, no, you're not. You're not up under a generational curse because I don't hold the sins of the father against the son or the mother against the daughter. So then I also showed why we continue to experience this, because he says, if the child will consider their parents' walk, how they, you know, if they were doing wickedness and turn away from wickedness, then this curse wouldn't be on them. They wouldn't receive death because of what their parents did. The problem is that the parents are teaching the children, and they teach the children how they were taught. And they continue in the ways of from grandparent to parent child, grandparent to parent to child. The cycle repeats itself. So just like as an example, our eating habits. And let me mute that. Our eating habits. Okay, we are taught to eat how our parents ate. And so they were telling us that high blood pressure and diabetes and high cholesterol were inherited diseases, meaning that you got that disease from your parents. Okay. When they found out that that is not the case, it's not a DNA, something inherited in our DNA that makes us inherit that. It's the way that we were taught to eat and the way that they were taught to eat. And so we inherited it, that eating habit, from them. If they cooked pork and they cooked, you know, things that weren't good for us because that's what they were taught to eat, because inherited those same diseases from our eating habits, but it wasn't genetic. So it wasn't something you inherited as part of your genes. It was something that you inherited because of the environment and the way that you were taught to eat. And so, you know, I got the way I cooked from my parents. And as I got older and learned that I had to start cooking differently for myself, I had to recognize that, oh, wait a minute, this problem is not, you know, inheritively in me. It's not part of my genes. This is the way that my parents taught me to cook. This is the way they taught me what to eat. And then I also had a sugar tooth or a sweet tooth that I myself, you know, went after sweet, you know, one of those Hostess cupcakes, chocolate cupcakes with the cream fill in them, two packs of those and a half a quart of chocolate milk or a couple of honey buns and a quart of chocolate milk. And I had this craving for sugar all the time. But because when I was younger, I was way more active, my muscles and stuff would work that off. But as I got older and got less active, then that sugar didn't go away. Didn't exercise as much. My body was, I was eating it and my body was keeping it. And so it stayed in my blood. So that was because of some things in me. And also, you know, with like eating the pork and all those things that were unclean, as most I said, don't eat. I was taught to, you know, pork was cooked in my household. Bacon, ham, pork chop. That was part of the diet. So I was taught to eat that way. And so the Most High says in these scriptures that if the child considers the behavior of the parent and they do what's right, then they shall live. So let's go back to these verses. Verse 3, as I live, saith Yah Elohim, you shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine, and the soul that sinneth shall die. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and has not eaten upon the mountain, neither has lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither has defiled his neighbor's wife, neither has come near to a menstruous woman, and has not oppressed any, but has destroyed, but has restored to the debtor his pledge, has spoiled none by violence, has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with a garment. He that has not given forth upon usury, neither has taken any increase, that has withdrawn his hand from iniquity, has executed true judgment between man and man, has walked in my statutes and kept my judgment to deal truly. He is just. He shall surely live, saith Yah Elohim. So he gives us the requirement. And this is one of the things that, you know, that we looked at this morning because said the new covenant, I'm going to write my laws and my statutes, my commandments in your heart and in your mind. This is what he has always wanted. And so how can we have the Spirit of the Most High and then don't have his heart concerning these things? How are we going to have his Spirit and his Spirit is saying, yeah, no, never mind, you got to do none of that stuff. It don't apply to you. That only applies to Israel. Not his nature. It's not his way. Not what he did. Okay, we can't find that in the scriptures that he did it. He modified a couple of laws. He did not, you know, delete his laws. He did not change his standard. Shall live. So it's not going to be the one that is, you know, the person that does what he wants them to do, what he wants. Then he said that soul shall live. Verse 10. If he beget a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that does the like to any one of these things, and that does not any of those duties, but even has eaten upon the mountains and defiled his neighbor's wife, has oppressed the poor and needy, and has spoiled by violence, has not restored the pledge, has lifted up his eyes to idols, has committed abomination, has given upon usury, so money that he loaned out, has taken increase. Shall he live? He then live? He has done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now, we might read that and say, oh, they got to do all these things, and then, you know, he won't forgive them. But he says, in verse 10, he says, if he beget a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and does the like to any one of these things, any one of them, says that soul shall not live. He has done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now, lo, if he beget a son that seeth all his father's sins, which he has done, and considers and does not such like, don't do like his father, that hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to idols of the house of Israel, neither hath oppressed any, hath not withholden the pledge, neither hath spoiled by violence, but hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, that hath taken off his hand from the poor, that has not received usury nor increase, has executed my judgment, has walked in my statutes. He shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. So he's telling us, you know, these are the things that he requires. And when we are filled with his spirit, we have to come to this understanding. This is his heart. This is his desire. And it's not just for Israel. This is for all mankind. Because Israel was to be his priesthood, and Israel was to teach the rest of the world. But because Israel would never do what he wanted them to do as a nation, he says, I'm going to open this thing up to the Gentile nations, and I'm going to give this gospel to another nation, bringing forth fruit and a mind and a heart, as we read in Ezekiel chapter 36, for Israel. That he's gonna be sanctified in Israel, and he's gonna punish those who did wickedness. But those that return to him, they are still his priesthood above the nations. So we gotta understand that he chose Israel, and he did it not for our sake, but for his sake. So when we come into the New Testament and we see these things, that we have to understand it from his position, that his Spirit is to give us his heart. His scriptures is to let us know in word form what his heart is. So to have his heart, that's why he says, if he keeps my judgment. And as I said before, one of the things that I hear Israel saying all the time, we keep the statutes, laws, and commandments. But what the Most High showed me from Romans chapter 3 is that Israel does not keep his judgment. Okay? Not gonna rule the way that he rules in a particular area. Gonna take it upon themselves to rule the way they want to rule. Most of us that already ruled in that area, this is what I want you to do. He says, so the soul that keeps his judgment, that does them, that soul shall live. Because you got his heart, you got his mind. You're gonna be obedient to him in everything with our whole heart. Okay, so this is where we kind of left off this morning. So we want to pick this up. As I said, this is not a couple of lessons. This is a great many lessons because there's so much here. Because it's talking about, can you live, can you be in the body of Messiah and have a false salvation? And the answer is yes. But he said he chose good and bad. He chose both good and bad and invited them. But the bad he's not going to allow to stay. When the judgment comes, the bad, he says, stranger or friend, how did you get up in here with no wedding garment? I invited both good and bad. You should have been told that you need a wedding garment, but so how are you up in here without one? take him, bind him, and cast him into outer darkness. So we know that the body is filled with both good and bad people. And it's not necessarily that they are bad as far as sin. They're bad because they are disobedient. They're bad because they are not really doing what he said to do. His judgments are important, and that's why he says in Romans chapter 10 that Israel went about to establish their own righteousness because they didn't do his judgment. I said do this, that's what I meant. So we read it in Ezekiel 18 that he wants, it's important that, you know, you do all these things that he requires and that you do his judgment. You judge the way he judges. Supposed to have his heart. This is the way I feel about this. This is how I handle this. And if you belong to me, you got to handle it the same way. Or you don't belong to him. So when he says good and bad, the bad are those who are in the body, but they really don't do what he says to do. They do what they want to do, how they want to do it, what they're comfortable with doing. The things that they're not comfortable with, not going to do it. So he also repeats that in the story of the wheat and the tares are the good crop. The tares, they're growing up with, he says, let the wheat and the tares grow up together. So you're going to have good and bad. He does it in when he says, okay, I sent out, he did a parable and said, I sent my messengers and Israel killed my messengers, my servants. I said, but the feast is prepared. The wedding is prepared. Go out into the highways and invite both good and bad to the wedding, to the feast. So we got to understand that he's telling us within the body, we have both good and bad. And we are reading in the scriptures what he wants from the good. I want you to judge righteous judgment. We read that this morning. Not that he don't want us to judge. He's saying if you are a hypocrite, don't judge. Because the same judgment you hand out, that's the same one you're going to receive. But judge righteous judgment. Judge lawful judgment according to the law. According to the Most High standard. So he is putting his heart and the way that he loves and don't love into his people. We have to have his heart, his mind. It's not our own mind. It's not our own heart. When he says be of one mind, it's not this find a brother or sister we agree with, and let's all be of one mind. Let's agree on these things and let's walk together. No, it's about being of one mind with him. That's why he writes his laws into our hearts, so that we will be of one mind with him. That we will learn to love like he loves. That we will judge according to as how he judges. Not according to our own standards. He never gave us that option. So let's continue in this. So kind of what we talked about on this morning. That he puts his laws into us. And his laws are his heart. His statutes are his heart. His commandments are his heart. His judgment are his heart, how he thinks about things and the way he does things. I'm putting this into you. I'm going to write it into your heart and into your mind that you might do it. And so when he says many are called but few are chosen, because only a few will move to this. Let me get the mind of the Most High. Let me do things according as he has said. And we need the Ruach for that. We need the Holy Spirit for that. That's why it says you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. His Spirit, so that we can get his mind. His mind is not going to go contrary to him. His Spirit is not going to, you know, how's he going to contradict us? I gave you my spirit, now I want you to think contrary to me. Oh, yeah, I want you to continue to do what you've been doing and think what's right in your own eyes. No, I gave you my spirit so that you would think like me, so that you would be like me, like me. I'm giving you my heart, my thoughts, my way, that you will do them. So when we say we are filled with the Spirit and we don't do these things, then we can justifiably question that. Because he says, this is what I've done. I'm giving you my heart. I'm telling you, this is how you enter into the kingdom. And when he taught this thing, he didn't teach it to the masses. He taught it to those that followed him. There were things, anytime he spoke to the masses, he spoke in parables. They would not understand. Because he didn't want them to understand. The masses. He said, but my disciples, I'm going to make everything clear to you. I'm going to make everything plain to you. Because a lot of the parables, they didn't understand. Master, you know, what did you mean by that? And he would break it down for them. For them, those that followed him, those that believed on him. And there were many that followed him and believed on him. And of course, it looks like in the scriptures, until he said, you got to eat my body and eat my body and drink my blood. Then many of them could not hear that. They left. Because when it was said in a way that he didn't explain what it was. They took it very literally. Hey, we're not cannibals. We don't eat people. Then he asked the 12 that remained, will you two leave? And they just answered, how can we leave seeing that you have the answer to life? And so then he explains it to them. He clarifies what it means. So when we are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, then he says, I'm going to make these things plain to you, and I'm going to make it where you can receive them, and I will open your understanding that you might have a heart to do what I want. So when we read in Ezekiel chapter 18, he's telling us that, you know, I used to require that if you sinned against me, then I would say that sin you did was on your children up until the fourth generation. Until the fourth generation of them that hate me. He automatically assumed or said that, hey, if you hate me and you disobey me, your child's going to hate me. You're not going to teach them right. Until the fourth generation. Then he says in Ezekiel, all right, that proverb will not be able to be said in Israel anymore. The soul that sinneth shall die for their sin. And he breaks it down to us. If you got a father that does this, and he's wicked, and he does these things, any of these things, that soul shall die. And if he has a son, and his son considers the wickedness of his father, and he repents, and he doesn't do those things, but he follows my laws, which means somebody has to teach him. I don't want to be like my father. Then the Most High will send you somebody to show you what's right, to tell you what's right. These are his laws. These are his statutes. These are his commandments. These are his judgments. These are the things that we are required to do. And the son chooses to do those things. He says, that son will not die for the sins of his father. And then he goes on to tell us the soul that is righteous. Just drop down to there. Drop down to verse 14. We're going to start in verse 14 now. Ezekiel 18 and 14. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 14. Now, lo, if he beget a son that seeth all his father's sins, which he has done, and considers and does not such like, that has not eaten of the mountains, neither has lifted up his eyes to do to the idols of the house of Israel, has not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither has oppressed any, has not withholden the pledge, neither has spoiled by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with a garment, that has taken off his hand from the poor, and has not received usury nor increase, has executed my judgment, has walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which was not good among his people, lo, even he shall die for his iniquity. Yet say you, why? Why is the son not going to die for the sins of his father? Why does not the son bear the iniquity of his father? When the son has done that which is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes and has done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he has committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live and shall not die. So he says, hey, if the wicked one repents and he turns away from all his transgressions, not from some of them, not from just what makes him feel good, but he's got to turn from all of them and keep all of the law, keep all of the Most High statutes, keep all of and doing what's lawful and right. He says he won't die because he considered his ways, and he repented all of his transgression that he has committed. Verse 22, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he has done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith Yah, and not that he should return from his ways and live? I don't want them to die, but if they don't turn from their ways, they're going to die. So if he repents, I'm not going to keep this death sentence on him. If he turns away from all his transgressions and does and follows all my commandments, my statutes, and does it all, he shall live. But when, verse 24, but when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, I'm saying you got to do all those, any of those in that group that he mentioned. Shall he live? All his righteousness that he has done shall not be mentioned. So we live according to the statutes, laws, commandments, and his judgments. Then all of a sudden we start doing wickedness. He says, I forget all of your righteousness. It's as though you didn't do them. All his righteousness that he has done shall not be mentioned. Forgotten. In his trespass that he has trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die. So you might do one thing and think, oh, well, you know, I'm basically a good person. I've been keeping the statutes, the laws, the commandments, and his judgments. And in this one thing I have failed in, and, you know, I don't think it's that bad. And so I know he will have mercy on me. And you stay in that thing? He says everything that you did that was good, that was righteous, that was lawful, is not won't even be mentioned. The only thing that's going to be mentioned is what you did wrong. And you're going to die in that. Because you knew it was wrong. This carries on into the New Testament. The only difference is now the Most High is opening this thing up to the Gentiles. And he has, you know, he understands that they didn't receive the law like Israel did. He understands that they have to learn of his ways. So he's a little bit more lenient. Start them off a little bit. In the beginning, in every synagogue, they taught the laws of the Most High. And that's where most of the Gentiles were hearing the law. They were kind of converts. They were wanting to be members of Israel already. And then when it moved out away from Israel, then they start changing some of these things. And the Most High didn't change it because he had what he wanted written. And so the churches themselves took it upon themselves to start, you know, coming up with their own requirements, coming up with interpreting scriptures only from the New Testament. This is all we are responsible for. All that other stuff is on Israel. That's the biggest lie there ever was. The Most High didn't change his standard. And he did not remove and delete, didn't get rid of his laws. He said, as long as heaven and earth is here, his laws would remain until all be fulfilled. As long as we're living on the earth and the earth is still in existence and the heaven is still in existence, he didn't get rid of his laws. He says, I am Elohim, and I change not. I'm not changing my ways to fit you in. I'm being a little bit lenient. I'm being understanding. I'm being just. I'm being righteous. I'm not going to hold you responsible for something that you don't know. But if you're truly following after me, if I choose you and give you my spirit, then sooner or later, you're going to have to be convicted to come and keep my law. You're going to have to be convicted to come and keep my judgment. This is what I want. That's my heart. I'm not changing my judgments just because you don't want to do them. That means that you don't want to do them and you won't do them. That means that you are disobedient. And you're not one of the good ones. You're one of the bad ones. Because I selected both good and bad. And that's not always the degree of sin. It's the lack of obedience to him. This is how we know and judge that, you know what, that one has my spirit. That one doesn't. That one has my heart. That one doesn't. That's why he said, many of you shall say, Lord, Lord, or Master, Master, did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not perform miracles in your name? Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. Iniquity is lawlessness. Get away from me. You don't keep my laws. You don't keep my commandments. You don't keep my judgment. I never knew you. Talking about. So he doesn't change. And they are in the body, and Messiah said, hey, don't mess with them. They claim in my name. Don't mess with them. I will judge them. He's not going to come with a different judgment. He's not going to advocate for them. He's going to say, hey, what are you doing up in here without your wedding garment? I followed you my whole life. I did what I thought I was supposed to do. But you didn't do what I told you to do. Even when I sent somebody to you, you had your own understanding, and you're going to do what you wanted to do. Get away from me. I never knew you. But they were in the body of Messiah, believing that they had salvation. Think about that. These people that are coming to him saying, didn't we do these things in your name? They are considering themselves in his body, part of the body. That's a false salvation. And then, like so many, because it's got to be many, he says, many are called, few are chosen. So the many are in this position. More bad than good are in this position. I'm part of the body. I'm a believer in Messiah. I'm performing miracles. I'm casting out demons. I'm calling on his name. Get away from me. Not because you were doing those things, but you're a worker of iniquity. Iniquity is lawless. Calling my name, but you ain't obeying me. You ain't doing what I wanted. Just said that you were part of my body. That's why I say it's important to know whether you really have been filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Has God chosen you? And if you haven't had those experiences, then you should ask yourself, why? Why haven't I had these experiences? Why don't I do these things? Why don't I have any of the evidence that he said is going to be there? Why do I still feel like, you know, I don't have to keep all these commandments? I don't have to do his law. He said, I'm going to write my law in your heart. If his laws ain't in your heart, then something is wrong. You're in the body, but you're not one of the good ones. You're one of the bad ones. Because I'm going to select good and bad. I'm calling good and bad. But he tells us, if the bad one will repent and turn away from all their transgressions and follow my laws and my judgments and my statutes, from that point on, he shall live and not die. He gives us his mind and his heart on these things. Men, and starting with Israel, because most I said, we cause the nations to profane his name by our disobedience. So if you don't obey your own God, why should we? And we can just make it what we want it to be. But no, the Most High had the scriptures written a certain way to get only those that he wants to reveal what's in our heart concerning him. Let's continue. So that's where we were at this morning. And so the Most High's law, his statutes, his commandments, his judgment, he loves. If you love me, keep my commandments. This is what I love. This is what how I judge. This is how I, the laws that I live by myself. I'm giving them to you. I keep them myself. This is what I want you to do. And if you don't live the way that I live, if you don't conduct yourself the way that I conduct myself, the way that I want you to conduct yourself, you can say what you want. You don't belong to me. You are worshiping me with your lips. But your heart is my heart. Your heart is far from me. He says it over and over and over again in different ways. I'm giving you my commandments. I'm giving you my laws. I'm giving you my statutes. I'm giving you my judgments that you should do them. He don't tell the Gentile nations they are excused from doing it. He says, I'm going to give you leeway. Because I know that I didn't give these all to your forefathers. I gave them to the forefathers of Israel. I gave them my oracles. I taught them to them from their very first beginning, even to some of their forefathers. I taught it to them, to Abraham, to Jacob, to Isaac. And all that I taught them, they did it. They kept my commandments. They kept my judgments. Then I've created me a nation. And my nation of people wanted to keep the heart of the Egyptians. So when I brought them out into the wilderness, while there was no strange God among them, while there was no strange Elohim among them, I showed them who I was, and I told them who I was. And I came down in such a way to put fear in them that they should not sin, that they should not transgress. But only a few of them, even after seeing all that, only a few of them did what he wanted them to do. Not all Israel obeyed. even after they saw what they saw, after they heard what they heard. Because it was not in their heart to do it. So his love is agape love. His laws, his statutes, his commandments, his judgments. That's how he loves. That's the love of Elohim. That's the mind of Elohim, of God. Agape love. It's not what the world says it is. What he says it is. Because they want to, you know, project to you that the Most High is only merciful. He's only gracious. He's only forgiving. And that's what he does this whole time, all the time, all the time. That's not him. That's a false God that they are projecting on the people. It's not the Elohim of the Bible. He says, if you keep my commandments and my judgments and my statutes and my ordinances to do them, then I'll be your God. I'll be your Elohim. And you shall live. But if you don't do them and you transgress them, even in the New Testament, I'm not your God. You're worshiping the Elohim of your mind, if you think that's me. Because it's not me. So he gives us his heart. He tells us how he loves. He tells us that he don't play. He's not double-minded. He don't have multiple personalities. It's not him. Now, Messiah attempted to explain to our forefathers, to Israel, how to find this new law, this law of agape love, to love and to think and to operate the way the Most High loves and thinks and operates. So Messiah, in the Sermon on the Mount, he's telling Israel how to enter in to the new covenant. He starts off by, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Then he goes into about how the kingdom of heaven is, how, and that Elohim rules the kingdom of heaven, how those laws are and how everything operates there. And he wants to bring that into the earth. So when he gets the Beatitude, he's telling us, you got to be like this to enter in. But you don't do, you don't do according to your own understanding. You got to understand things the way that he understands. We don't get an opinion in this. We don't get a say. The only opinion we have is his. And if we have our own opinion, then we are on sandy ground, period. That house ain't going to stand when it comes to him. So to how in that parable, that rock, you building your house upon a rock, it's him. He is our rock. Father and son. Just put Ab and Ben, father and son, put it into Hebrew or the Aramaic, and it makes rock. It makes stone. That's what the word changes into. Father and son changes to stone. Rock. I am your rock. When Messiah said, upon this rock, father and son, shall I build my church? Talking about Peter. Either though Peter's name meant pebble. He's not building anything upon Peter. He's building it upon father and son, that relationship, him as the father and him as the son. And how as the son, he came as an example to show us how we relate to him as the father in complete obedience. not in transgression, not sinning ever. That's what we are to be coming like, judging like him. So this was Messiah's whole purpose. I'm coming, I'm going to pay the price for you that you can't pay for yourself. But I'm also going to show you how to relate to me in the role of father. That's how I want you to treat me. So let me do it from a position of a son so you can say, one son did it. I can do it. Can't do it without his spirit, though. It's impossible. It's impossible to have his mind and his thoughts without his spirit. So Messiah came to show us the love of Elohim, agape love, that we're supposed to get and have to enter into the new covenant. Get it. We're supposed to understand what it is. We're supposed to understand that it's supposed to be within us. So he simply says, I'm going to write it in your heart and in your mind. I don't want you to love like you used to love. I want you to love the way that I love. I want you to get that in you. I want you to be, have a mind and a heart of obedience. I don't want you practicing witchcraft anymore. And what he means by witchcraft, he says, disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft. I don't want you doing that no more. But see, the witches do stuff that the Most High said, don't do. He didn't say that it's not possible to do it. He said, don't do it. Don't be calling up the dead, trying to change people's minds with these potions and sending spirits after them to try to influence them. Don't be, you know, raising the dead, because they had people that knew how to do it. Necromancy. So he says, suffer not a necromancer to be among you. Not that it can't be done. It's possible. He wouldn't make a law against it if it wasn't. Because I told you not to do those things. And witches do those things. He says, so the sin of disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft. They're doing, but they do it anyway out of disobedience. They know the powers that they are playing with. And they still do it out of disobedience or obedience to whatever they're serving. And it ain't the Most High. So he says, when we are disobedient, he says, I look at that just like I look at witchcraft. Now, why doesn't the world like this? All the other world religions that are not after this line, that don't follow the Elohim of the Bible, because it excludes them. They're trying to make it make a way to enlightenment, trying to make a way to a higher level of existence, trying to make a way that, you know, by whatever they do, you know, if I live a good life, I'll be reincarnated. And if I achieve a certain level of, I don't remember their exact words, but if I achieve a certain level, then I'll ascend to another level. I won't come back into this life. All other religions, man is the answer for man. You can do this. You can do that, and you will ascend. You will come back. If you don't, you got something to learn, you'll come back again to do it over again. That ain't in the scriptures nowhere. And so they don't like this religion. So the world hates the message, for it excludes all other religions, all other names, Buddha, Muhammad, Krishna, you name it. They're not mentioned as part of your salvation. All other concepts of mankind and Elohim the Father. The scriptures tell us that Messiah is the only one that has the keys to death and hell and heaven. They say you can do it yourself a certain way, and you will ascend to a higher level. If Messiah is the mediator, then ought we not to pay attention to what he said to us? Israel rejected Messiah. Go to Matthew chapter 12. The book of Matthew chapter 12. And let's get verses 24 through 50. Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. This is what the Pharisees were saying about Messiah. They rejected him because they thought that he was casting out demons by the prince of demons. And Messiah knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, brought to non-existence. And every city or a house divided against itself shall not stand. So if your household ain't together, it won't stand. If a city is not together, it won't stand. If it's divided, so we find things that would keep us, that we have something in common. Now, we can say we can stand on this, where you my family, you my blood. But really, truth be known, and I'm a witness to this, that house still may not be standing the way the Most High wants it to stand. It will not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? If I'm casting out demons out of people, I am actually conquering the kingdom of Satan. I'm divided. I'm separate from his kingdom. And if I'm for him with him, I'm dividing his kingdom. I'm taking people from him. How is his kingdom going to stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. You saying, I'm casting out demons. So evidently, this was already going on. And the children of Israel, somebody was casting out demons out of people. So I said, if I'm doing it by Beelzebub, then by what authority and what power? Children doing it. So they were casting out demons, and we can read about, you know, certain sects of the Pharisees, their children, going around calling on the name of Messiah without authority. So they were trying to do these things, and some of them were doing it. So he says, they're going to be your judges. Hey, we do this by the power of the Most High, not by Beelzebub. And here Messiah is doing it, and you accuse him of doing it by Beelzebub? I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry, Mom, but y'all need to get in the lake. I cast out devils by the spirit of Elohim. Then the kingdom of Elohim has come unto you. I am taking down Satan's kingdom. If I'm doing it, if I cast them out by the Spirit of the Most High, then the kingdom of Elohim has come close to you, come unto you. You need to grab onto it. So they rejected him because the Pharisees and the vast majority of the leaders said he was doing this thing by Beelzebub, by the devil. And as I said on yesterday, one of the scriptures, I was reading it, and y'all got to bring it back to me, where good grief. When he says, I and my Father are one. When you look up that Hebrew word for one, it doesn't mean that we are of the same mind. We got the same thought. Not what it means. He says, I and my Father are one another. I am the Father and I am the Son. We're one another. That's why they accused him. You, they understood what he said. You being a man, make it yourself Elohim. Make it yourself God. Not that he called himself the Son of God. You make yourself Elohim. You say you and him the same. He's you and you're him. They understood what he was saying. And when we read in the English, then people come up, oh, they got the same mind, they got the same thought, saying, I am him and he's me. We are one and the same. So here, he's telling them, hey, if I cast out devils, then the kingdom of Elohim has come unto you. Isaiah tried to tell you, that John was trying to tell you, that your Elohim, your God, is here. That's how they should have been looking at Messiah. But they rejected him. And then they told lies. They painted a false picture of him. They condemned him off of a lie. And then in their own documents, they wrote lies about him. But they rejected him. And then the church picked up some stuff and start making up stuff that is contrary to what the Most High says of himself. Because they didn't have the understanding. It wasn't given to them. So they made the best sense out of it that they could. But it wasn't given to them. Continuing this thing in the scriptures that we have to go through. We have to go through an authentic regeneration. When we undergo an authentic regeneration, we become the heirs of the promise. Go to Galatians chapter 4. And we're going to get verses 1 through 7. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. What time are we at? 6:10. Let me put my glasses on so I can see that clock. Yeah, 6:10. My time. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from the servant. When you are in a household that can afford servants, or like when it was in the time of slavery, the slaves that were in the house were responsible for helping to raise the child. And they ordered the child around. You know, do this, don't do that. You know, be this way, don't be that way. They were in charge of that. Okay. So they don't differ anything from the servant. They're not over that servant. As a child, because even as a child, he's their what? Master. So while they're being taught, the servant is ordering him around. And the master of the house even has a master over him, his own father and mother, as an example. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Now, this is relating to a spiritual thing, but he's telling us from a carnal way, a natural way, that they have tutors and governors that instruct them, that govern them, until the time appointed by their father. You know, when you turn 16, you don't do what they say anymore. You do what I say. I'm going to put you over them. They're going to become to where they do what you say, and they have to follow your orders. Even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, Elohim sent forth his son, and made of a woman, made under the law, redeemed them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, Elohim has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart. What is the spirit of the son? I don't sin. I don't disobey. What I hear the Father say, that's what I do. What I see him doing, that's what I do. I'm not disobedient. Now, Messiah, the spirit of the Father was in Messiah. The same spirit that was in Messiah is the spirit of the Father. The scriptures tell us, to wit, let me get this verse. One second. Let me find this verse. I should know this by heart. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. We'll come back to, well, let's finish up this and then we'll go to 2 Corinthians. Verse 6. And because you are sons, Elohim has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more servant. Once we receive his spirit, we are no more servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of Elohim through Mashiach. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 15 through 21. To wit, that Elohim was in Christ. The Spirit of God was in Christ. The Holy Spirit was in Mashiach, reconciling the world unto himself. What spirit? Elohim. Who was Messiah? Elohim in the flesh. God in the flesh. You're going to know him as the son of Elohim. But the spirit that is in him is the spirit of Elohim, of God himself. To wit, that Elohim was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Elohim, God, wants to reconcile with you. He wants you to come back to him. He wants you to obey his voice. Now, then we are ambassadors for Mashiach, as though Elohim did beseech you by us. We pray you in Mashiach's stead. We pray you in Mashiach's stead, be you reconciled to Elohim. Be reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. So the one that knew no sin, he made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of Elohim in him. So righteousness, that we might be made the righteousness of Elohim, the lawful. If we don't obey Messiah, if we don't become like him, sinless, if we don't become where we obey the laws, the statutes, the commandments, the judgments, then we're not righteous in him. That's why I said every Christian, New Testament, should understand and obey the laws of the Most High for Christ's sake, for the love of Messiah, for the love of him. It should obey for that reason instead of trying to get from under the law. He says, we establish the law. Because the spirit of the Most High within us is going to make sure that we learn the law. And that we do it. That we don't, you know, stay in sin. So the spirit that was in Messiah is Elohim himself. To wit, Elohim was in Christ. The power and the wisdom of Elohim was in Christ, his spirit, his power, reconciling the world, not unto Messiah, but to the Father himself. Now, Messiah is the Father, but he wants us to reconcile with him from the position to the Son, the position of Son to the Father. The Son didn't exist. Son, I'm not talking about S-U-N, I'm talking about S-O-N. Didn't exist. But in the mind of the Most High, the intent of the Most High, from this position, I'm going to do this work. A body have you prepared for me. People read that and understand it that, you know, Messiah was there in heaven with the Father as the Son. But he wasn't. And the Most High tells us over and over that he wasn't. I did these things alone and by myself. A actual sin for the Most High to create another God. But he said he will not form one. There was no God before me, neither will there be after me. So if he has a son that is separate and apart from him, as God or as a God, from the standpoint of all-powerful, all-knowing, then he would have broken his own word. He would have broken his own word. He can't do that. He won't do that. There are some churches and some organizations that teach that the Sermon on the Mount, because it was before Pentecost, doesn't apply to the nations. The Beatitudes don't apply to the nations. The church doesn't have to keep to their understanding. I didn't say all churches, but there are churches and organizations out there that say, hey, that don't apply to us. That was Israel. But if that is to Israel only, then the world is in trouble. They are in trouble because they're going to believe a false narrative. They're going to believe a false gospel. You don't have to do that. That's where that doctrine comes from. You ain't up under the law. Take one verse and make it a doctrine, and then don't understand it within the context of the scripture. And are responsible for millions of people. Millions upon millions. So just remember, it's not the words of Brother Miles. He said, many are called, few are chosen. All y'all that saying, Lord, Lord, or Master, Master, didn't we do these things in your name? And he says to them, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I didn't know you. That's part of the many, not the few. The ones that are disobedient. So Messiah, didn't he say enter in, enter you into covenant? I'm going to write my laws in your heart and in your mind. Enter into the straight gate. There are two gates. There's the straight gate and the narrow and straight gate, and then there is the wide gate. People are going to attempt to enter into. And he tells you which gate to enter in. But some people are going to try to come through the wide gate. Some people are going to try to come through the narrow. The vast majority will come in to the body of Messiah through the wide gate, not wanting to give up their sins. Wanting salvation, but not wanting to do what it takes for salvation. They heard the call. Come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Come into his body. Come to the feast. Repent. Be baptized. Come on in. How so many bad people get in here if many are called and few are chosen? Profess and love him. And he says, I don't even know you. Professing to obey him, I don't know you. Professing to keep his commandments, yeah, we love our neighbors. We feed the hungry and the poor. We take care of people. We love our brother as ourselves. I don't know you. How is that? The question we have to ask ourselves, where do we want to go from here? The straight gate. This is the way true believers will enter. He says, if you enter any other way, you are a robber and a thief. You're trying to get to salvation a different way than I told you. Narrow way. Not walk this broad way. Not do what you think is right. And how, you know, you always hear these stories about there's many ways to salvation. There is not. There's only one way. And I got a different path than you got. No, we are all sinners. The only path is to come out of sin. There ain't no other way. The only path is to become righteous and obey his laws, his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his ordinances. There is no other way. So when people are saying these things, they're saying them out of, I don't know what. You know, you do your thing, I'll do mine. Okay. You do your thing and I'll do mine. I'm going to go buy the book. The book says there's only one way in. And if you're not coming that way, you do your thing. Let's see who ends up where. Because he says, many are called and few are chosen. Enter into the way. Enter into the door. I am the door. Obey my commandments. Do what I did. That you may grow up to be like me. I'm your example. Majority of quote-unquote Christians reject it. They accept some form of it, but the way that they want to believe it, they build a theology that offers an alternative to what Messiah himself said. Some kind of attractive method that draws people, saying the heart of the Most High, some other kind of way. Some of them just tell you, you get baptized, oh, you got the Holy Ghost, you got the Holy Spirit, you got the heart of the Most High, you got the mind of the Most High. Where's the evidence? Some other method to get this new heart, to make themselves appear to be like Messiah. He says, enter in through the narrow gate. You can't get here by many ways. You can't get here by your own way. There's only my way or the highway. That's what Messiah was saying in him. A way that he don't even teach himself, that he didn't represent himself. But it's close to the original gospel. And if you don't read the scriptures, you won't know the difference in what the world says and what the church says, it says that they represent the Messiah, but they're teaching a different gospel than he's teaching. And he taught, and he required. It's only one. There's not many. Only one. There's only one way in. There's only one standard. There's only one heart that we have to get. We can't all have a different heart. If we are of the same mind and the same heart, that means that we got the heart of, and we are in our heart and our mind, follows after the Most High's statutes, laws, commandments, and judgments. Then we got the right heart and the right mind. Because this is what he says you got to have. I'm going to give you my spirit to help you do that. If we got any other heart, any other mind, any other thought, it ain't his. It's yours. One way. I am the gate. When you come through me, you should get the mind of the Father. I do what my Father, what I see my Father do. I say what I see, what I hear from my Father, what he tells me. Elohim is not going to be double-minded and say something that he didn't say. Not even through the position of Messiah. He's not going to contradict himself. One mind. Let this mind be in you. That was also in Messiah. Your own mind. Come with your own opinion. Come with your own understanding. He didn't say we get a say in his commandments or his statutes, his laws, his judgments. Those things that he allows, we are allowed to do that. Other than that, we're not allowed. There's going to be many, many, many of the church leaders, pastors, bishops, cardinal, priest, father, as in the sense of like a Catholic father over a church, the reverend before the Most High in condemnation for not teaching the truth. Truth. Let him that has an ear to hear, let him hear. What Messiah always said. Sermon on the Mount was to give you and tell us how to get the mind of the Most High, how to get his heart. Go to Matthew chapter 5, and we got about 30 minutes. I should be able to cover this in 30 minutes. And let me pull this up so we can walk through it. Let me see where I got that document at. Okay. Put these two together. A lot of notes. Good grief. Okay. Sermon on the Mount. Go to Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Now when Yeshua saw the crowd, he went up on a mountainside and sat down, came to him, and he began to teach them, his disciples. Then teach the crowd. He went up there hollering from the top of the mountain to these people trying to teach them. He's teaching his disciples, those that followed him. those that he had chosen. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. His disciples heard this, not the mass. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see Elohim. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of Elohim. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Remember, righteousness is lawfulness. If you're persecuted because of keeping the law, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Are you when people insult you and persecute you falsely and say all kinds of evil against you because of Messiah? Because when you preach Messiah, the truth about him, like I said, when I tell people about Hebrews chapter 10 and that you can't willfully sin against Messiah, my Hebrew brothers and sisters, when I tell them this, they're like, we're under mercy. We're under grace. But read these verses right here. He says, if you willfully sin, after you come to the knowledge of the truth, if you willfully sin, you spit on him. You don't want to hear it from me telling you, but you read it right here in the scripture. No, we up under grace. That don't count to us. Wait a minute. You said you follow his laws. You said you follow Messiah. Because people want to have an excuse to continue to fall, to fail, to come up short. Once we come to Messiah, we are not given the right to come up short. Short of the glory of Elohim, that's all of mankind. But after you come to him, you don't have that right anymore. That is supposed to have been wiped from your record. Clean. When we come to him, after that, we can't be falling short. Not knowingly. We can't knowingly fall short. People try to use that verse to fall back on when they're not doing what Elohim's trying. He don't give us the option. He never says, try not to sin. He don't ever say that. I'm learning. What do you know? What have you learned? You're responsible. You're accountable for that. What you don't know, the Most High has never, ever held people accountable. He says, sin. But I'm not going to charge you with that. Because you didn't know. You do know? Yeah, I'm going to charge you with that. And especially if you disobey it knowingly. Our people don't want to hear it. The church don't want to hear it. We'd rather live in those verses and say, hey, all I got to do is confess my sin and he is true and just to forgive it. That lets me stay the way that I am. That lets me continue to fall short. Willfully fall short, because I believe he will forgive me. When he says, if you normally do this, there ain't no blood for that. No, we don't want to hear that verse. We don't want to hear that. Because then I'm in trouble. Yeah, you're in trouble. We're all in trouble because we've been taught falsehood. And we have a false salvation. And we consider ourselves to be in the body of Messiah. He's going to say, hey, get away from me. I never knew you. You worker of iniquity, lawlessness. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not blessed are you who are persecuted for unrighteousness. Not blessed are you who are persecuted because you're doing what you think is right. You've established your own standard. Say about that. I ain't looked it up yet. Why not? Because I think this is right. I've heard, had people to tell me this stuff. I'm like, he tells us what's right and what's wrong. We don't get a say in that. He never asks our opinion, what we think. Well, Brother Miles, what you think about that? He ain't never asked me that. I can never find it in the scriptures where he asked anybody that. Rejoice and be glad. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of him. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. You're not blessed if they persecute a Hebrew Israelite. But see, that's where a lot of our people try to land at. It's got to be for Messiah's sake, not for Israel's sake. Not because we're his people, because we read this morning, he says, hey, I'm going to do all these things, not for your sake, Israel, because you caused the nations to blaspheme me, to profane my name. I'm going to do it for my own name's sake, not for yours, for my own name's sake. And I'm going to sanctify you for my name's sake, not because you are righteous and a good people. I'm going to clean up the world's attitude and opinion about me because of what you did. You caused them to profane my name. So if you're persecuted for his sake and you endure it, then you receive the kingdom of heaven because you're going to do what he said to do. You're going to love him more than you love yourself. You're going to care about what he thinks more than you care about what people think. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Then Messiah says, talks about salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. Salt is it's not a leavening, it's a flavoring. It's also a cleanser. Salt is a preserver. They used to use salt to preserve meat. We still use salt today to season things, to change the flavor of something. But it also was used as a preservative and a cleanser. Salt. You are the salt of the earth. Flavor. How can it be made salty again? If you lose what the Most High gave you because you are believing in falsehood, because you want to do what you want to do, if the Most High takes away his spirit, the Most High will take away his spirit. Ask Saul. Most High just left him. You what? You being disobedient? Disobedience is the sin of witchcraft. The Most High departed from him and sent an evil spirit upon him, spirit, for disobedience. But then the church is teaching, hey, you can be disobedient. Yah will forgive you. You can transgress. Just ask for forgiveness, and he will forgive you. He said, no, that disobedience is the sin of witchcraft. You need to suffer not a witch to be among you, except it be thrown out and trampled underfoot. It is good for nothing. If we lose our saltiness, if we lose what the Most High gave us, he says, you're not worth anything. You're worth nothing. You can't affect change. If you can't change the flavor of the group you're in, if you can't help to preserve them in my word, if we can't be used for those three things that salt is good for, we have lost our saltiness. We have lost our flavor. We have lost what we were meant to be used for. Because then we are good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. So when we receive the Ruach HaKodesh, people should not see us the same way. We should not fit in with sinners like, you know, we are the same with them. Can't continue to be like that old person because we don't want to upset people. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, or a city built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it up under a bowl or a bush. To everyone in the house, in the same way, let your light shine before others. Be a light for everybody else. But that light is the light of the Most High. That light is living the life of Mashiach and letting other people see it. That light is being different on the job where they know, hey, you different from us. When they try to crack a dirty joke around you, you don't let them do it. Somebody grab you behind, you don't let them do it. When I first went in out of the military and I went to my first job, this woman grabbed my butt on the job. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't do those things. I don't play that way. It's like, wow. Had a very rich real estate agent, commercial real estate agent, close the deal and say, and tell me, well, I'm gonna have you for lunch. I said, no, you're not. I don't roll that way. You know that. I don't come around here acting like y'all do. You don't hear me cussing and joking and playing with y'all the same way that y'all laugh and joke together. I don't do those things. Had to let them know. Oh, you a religious man. I said, call it what you will. I follow the Elohim of the Bible. I follow the God of the Bible. I wouldn't be representing him right if I did that. And they respected that after that. They wouldn't cuss around me, telling dirty jokes. They wouldn't be talking about, oh, I'm going to have you for lunch as a reward for closing this big case. Because I had to be that light. If I was still in the world, there could have been a lot of things that happened. But because I wasn't in the world, it happened, and I was that light. We have to be that light. Can't be like the world. Can't succumb to those things because, you know, it's flattering. Or, it's in our heart, yeah, you know, a lot of women in here, and they all seem to be available. Married or not. No, that's not who I am. Not what I'm here for. Be that light. Your good deeds. Let people see your good deeds and glorify your Heavenly Father. We have to do that. Verse 17, the fulfillment of the law. This is what Messiah is teaching them. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, pass away, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen, not one jot or tittle, will by any means pass away from the law or disappear from the law until everything is fulfilled or accomplished. That's why a lot of those organizations say, hey, that don't apply to us. That applies to Israel. No, that applies to the entire time that the earth is here, that the heavens exist. The law is going to be here. We ain't up under that law. We ain't up under those laws. That was for his people Israel. You speak with no understanding. speak with no understanding at all. Because if his law is for everybody. He said, the heaven and the earth and everything in it belong to me. Started with Israel. Really, I started with Egypt. But then I took out a people out of the earth for myself. And I gave them my name. Because one of the names of the Most High is Israel. That's one of his names. I gave them my name. I put my name on them. Yisrael. Law ain't going to pass away. In the earth, Israel was supposed to give it to the world. Now I open up salvation to the world, and these hard-headed people still want to come into my kingdom and not obey my laws. Just like Israel did. We ain't up under that. For anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commandments and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. How in the world, so the world latches on to, if I teach people to disobey it, I'm going to be least in the kingdom. But at least I'm in the kingdom. The lake of fire is in the kingdom too. That's why all the people got to come and look on those people who are in the lake every new moon and every Sabbath. Look upon them, the people who are in the lake. They're in the kingdom. Got to come by the lake of fire. Come into Jerusalem to worship the Most High. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses the Pharisees of the law, because they weren't doing it, you will certainly not enter into the kingdom. See, it's one thing saying this is what the law says. Another thing doing it. That's why Messiah called them hypocrites. He says, do what they say to do. Do what the Pharisees tell you to do. Do what the Sadducees are telling you to do. Because they're telling you right. But don't do as they do. They tell you, but they don't do it. They are hypocrites. So do what they tell you to do, but don't you do like them. Don't you hear it and then don't do it. Don't you be telling other people to do it and then you don't do it. If you are like them, if you're not better than them, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. My laws are not going to pass away. My commandments are not going to pass away. This system is not going to change until all be fulfilled. When everything is fulfilled, I'm removing the water from this planet. I'm removing the air from this planet. Read it in Revelation. I'm going to change this earth. And it's no longer going to be a water world. When I'm present, the elements melt. I'm going to change this planet. And in order for you to survive on this planet, you got to be like me. I'm going to give you a new body that's like mine that can be in my presence. Because if you come in my presence now, if you were really in my presence, you would die. And I only want righteous beings in my presence. So I'm going to give you a new body. I'm going to give you a body that can't die. I'm going to give you a body that can stand with the elements, the dirt and the iron and, the mountains and the water. The elements of this earth can't stand my presence if I come in my true form. I showed Israel a little bit of it when I touched down on top of Mount Sinai. The mountain started to melt. The mountain didn't erupt. like a volcano, it started to melt. And lava came down from the presence of the Most High. Couldn't stand in his presence. He says, now that was just a little taste of me. I hid myself in thick darkness. See me. You can't be in my presence, in my true presence, in my full presence in your current form. I'm going to give you a body like mine. And then I'm going to remove all this water on this planet. I'm going to remove the air. No atmosphere. Can't live in that. That's what he says he's going to do. And that is when he will consider the heavens has passed away, this air surrounding this planet. The earth has always been a water planet. When you go to Genesis and he describes it, spirit is floating above the water, and the earth, the waters pull back and the earth comes out of it. They rise, the dirt, the earth part of it rises out. In the end, he says, hey, I'm going to get rid of all the seas, all the water. The earth will be converted. That's when heaven and earth shall pass away. In his kingdom. Not that it's going to disappear. Two heavens out there above the earth, above this air, they're going to still be there. But the air around this planet is going away. The water on this planet is going away. That means plant life, as we know it, is going away. How he sustains it? The water coming out of his throne. 21, murder. So he's telling us his law is not going to go away. He's telling us that we have to be the light of the world. He's telling us, if you have heard that it, you have heard, it was said to people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. The judgment was, if you kill somebody, you were to be killed, a life for a life. And if you did it by accident, then I'm setting up refuge cities, cities of refuge that you can run into. Avenger of blood still has the right to kill you because you took a life. But if you make it to this refuge city, the city of refuge, then the avenger of blood can't come and get you. That was the law. But if you step outside that city before its time, while the high priest that was in power when was in the office, when you committed that sin, even by accident, when you committed that sin, if the high priest that is in office is still in office, then the avenger of blood had the right to still kill you. But the law said you had to stay in that city and be protected by those elders as long as that high priest was in office. The law. When he died, you were free to come out. And the avenger of blood could not come and get you. Could not kill you at that point. You were good to go. But if you broke that law and you came out of that city and the avenger of blood caught you, they had the right to take your life. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or his sister will be subject to judgment. Angry at your brother or your sister will be subject to judgment. And again, anyone who says to a brother or a sister, rakah. Now, that's coming from a translated version, so let me get the King James version. Hot moment while I pull this up. Verse 21 again. You have heard that it was said by them of old time that thou shalt not kill. Now, the scriptures are really against murder because there is times when the Most High says to kill, and there's times when he says it's justified to kill, okay? Especially if you are in transgression of his law and you receive the death sentence. So that scripture really should be, in the KJV, should be translated as murder. Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. I just explained to you the judgment that he had with that. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, rakah, and let's look up this word, rakah. That word in the Greek is, it's of Chaldean origin. O empty one, worthless. If you call your brother worthless, shall be in danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. So the word thou fool, moros, in the Greek, probably from the base of G3466, dull or stupid, shut up, or heedless, morally blockhead, absorbed. You a fool. If you say that to your brother or your sister, he says, you are in danger of hell fire, of the lake of fire. So we are told here how we are to behave. Because when we can murder with our mouth, soul with our mouth, our tongue, the tongue is a dangerous thing. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, let me go back into the KJV. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother has an ought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer your gift. Don't come before me telling me you want to, you know, mock somebody. They have an ought against you. You have offended. Not they offended you. You have offended. So go be reconciled. Then come and make your offering to me. Agree with thine adversary quickly. Settle matters quickly while thou art in the way with him. Lest at any time the adversary, your adversary, the one you are in conflict with, deliver you to the judge, deliver you to the officer. That's the prison officer. And thou be cast into prison. So before you even get to that, go reconcile first. Maybe y'all can make up. Maybe you can go, you know, you don't want it to go to the court first. You don't want it to go to the court and then the judge get a hold of it. And then the judge say, hey, you're guilty. Call the officer. Throw this one in jail. Verily I say unto you, thou shalt by no means come out of there till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing, the uttermost cost, whatever a farthing was worth, whether that's a dollar, a penny, whatever it is. Continue. Adultery. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now, this is looking upon a woman who is married. Can't commit adultery with a single woman. And a woman can't commit adultery with a single man if she is single. She can commit fornication. But if that person is already in an adulterous state, then you can become an adulterer. Soever looketh upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. So I, as a man, see a woman that is beautiful or who I think is beautiful, and I start letting my mind go places that the Most High says, your mind should be going there. And She is married, and I want to sleep with her. That's when my mind is gone. He says, you have already committed adultery. But in your mind and in your heart, you have already done it. The only thing that didn't present itself is the actual case or the opportunity to do it, to physically do it. How did he get hurt? She better not be willing. She better not show that old boy ain't taking care of business or whatever. I'll be on that. Most times says, you are guilty of adultery, dude. Another man's wife. And in your heart, you have slept with her. Already. You ain't even said nothing to her. But in your heart, you've done it. You're guilty of adultery. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. See if there was anything else. Look at the, yeah. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, thy whole body should be cast into hell. If you got a wandering eye, he's trying to tell you literally stop. It's better that you pluck that eye out than to burn in hell or the lake of fire. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. You can't control your hands, it's better you don't have them than to be cast in, your whole body be cast into hell. It has been said, divorce, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Now, we went into the law, and we read that. And it was given in Moses' time because the men were divorcing the women for any and every reason. And really, I never did go into, particularly, you know, if you read this, if you really understood what he was saying there, you'd be like, He complained about that. He complained about how her genitals looked. At it, pudendum, how her privates looked, and divorced her for any reason. But they were complaining, hey, I don't like the way she looked down there. I don't want her no more. And then by the law, if they tried to take another wife, they could not stop doing for the first. So they started accusing them of cheating so they could put them to death. So the Most High says, nah, it was never intended to be that way. Let them give them a bill of divorcement. Free to go marry again under the law. And if she marries another man, and later on, let's say her first husband dies or he divorces her, and the first husband says, you know, I was really wrong. I shouldn't have never divorced you for that. I was young. I was foolish. I've been still in love with you this whole time. She's not free to marry her again. She's not free to go back to him again. And we have those things going on. People think it's okay after they've been with other people to go back with somebody they've been with before. Most of us said no. That is illegal. It's unlawful. Let's move on. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, saving except for cause of fornication. Sex outside of the marriage. if she had sex before he married her and she's supposed to have been a virgin, she's supposed to be stoned. Proof of her virginity. The law called for her to be stoned. And if she was having married and she was with another man, if she was engaged to a man and she was with another man, unless this man raped her in some remote place, if he raped her in the city and she didn't scream out, then him and her were supposed to die. They got caught. Him and her were supposed to die because she didn't scream out that he was attacking her. She must have been complicit. She could have been complicit in a remote place. But there was nobody to hear her scream. The Most High says, and she's not going to die. We're going to give her the benefit of the doubt that she screamed for help and nobody heard her. He shall be killed. Hold on a minute. Let me close my door. What's that? Oh, 7-Eleven. Good grief. Let's finish this up and we'll call it a night. And let me do this. Let me put that on mute. Let me mute this real quick so I can holler at somebody. All right. Let's continue and finish this up. I didn't realize it was after the hour. But I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except for fornication, she had sex outside the marriage, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. That's a hard standard, especially in our country. This is Messiah ruling. And we say that we are Christians. Do we apply to this? Again, you have heard that it's been said by them of old, that thou shalt not forswear thyself. Don't make an oath, but shalt perform unto Yah thine oath. Whatever you swear to the Most High you're going to do, you have to keep that. I am a witness to that. The Most High, I've made the Most High a promise. I didn't keep it. I got cancer. And then he told me that cancer is not going to kill you. It's not unto death. But it's a wake-up call. You don't keep your promises to me, I will kill you. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by the heavens, for it is Elohim's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. Now he's talking about naturally, because, you know, man is always trying to do things that's going to, you know, try to undo what the most, let me go get some blonde or some white hair dye and bleach my hair or dye it. But he's saying you can't make it turn from black to white naturally of your own power. Time will do that, but you can't do it in and of yourself. But let your communication be this, yea, yea, or nay, nay. Whatsoever is more than these summits of evil. Start speaking our own understandings, our own whatever. You have heard it say, been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek. Because the law said, an eye for an eye, a foot for a foot. And the reason that he had to give that law was, I step on your foot. I mean, we have it going on as to when I was a teenager or, you know, in my 20s or whatever, going to the club. That you step on somebody's foot, they want to fight, they want to kill you. There have been many people killed for stepping on somebody's foot in a club. So this ain't anything new. Most High says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. He says, but I tell you, if your brother offends you, if he slaps you, turn the other cheek. That's the way we as saints have to be. But if any man will sue thee at the law, come out his law, and take away thy coat, let him have your cloak also. If he gonna sue you for your coat, give him your cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. The Most High didn't want us to be the poor in Israel. He has always said, you know, the Messiah said the poor will always be with us. Why? Because we won't do what he said to do. He said there should come a time when there is no poor among us. If we don't withhold the blessings that Yah has blessed us with, and we open our hand wide to the poor, then there should come a time that there's no poor in the land. He says, y'all ain't going to do that. So the poor will always be with you. You have heard it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. That's what he wants us to do. I know some of these things I have to still work on. Try to do them, but that ain't always the first response, especially if it's somebody that's just been, you know, wicked towards you. But Messiah says, I told you to do it. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on evil and on good, and send rain unto the just and to the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? What, you know, they was good to you, you good back to them. Do not even the publicans the same? They are good to people who are good to them. If somebody is not good to them, they're not good to them. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than the others? Do not even the publicans so? If you only greet those people that you like, what's your reward? I was kind, not to the person you didn't like, you weren't kind. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And we especially don't want to hear this one. Be perfect. I've been perfect. But we're commanded to be. So the Most High could justifiably say, I reject you all. I told you to be perfect. Walk before me perfectly. Love your enemies as yourself. Love your brother. If you got an out with your brother, don't come before me. Go reconcile with your brother first. Then come and offer to me. Then come and pray to me. Reconsider the words of Messiah. Because he's saying this is what it takes to enter in. He's dealing with the major issue of man. Not just Israel, of mankind. Lust. Envy. Murder. Our attitude. And this is how I want you to be. Let's bow our head. Father Yah, we don't want to be in your kingdom, Father, as disobedient children. You have stated to us what it takes to be perfect in your eyes. Help us to be perfect and walk before you as you have commanded, Father. Take the spirit of willfulness out of our hearts to do wrong. And if the spirit to do willfully your commandments, Father, reinforce it in us. Cement it in us that we might walk before you perfect. For this is your commandment. Give us a heart and help us to change our hearts for those that offend us, that persecute us. That we have your mind concerning this thing. Love conquers a multitude, your love. Let us walk as you walk, because you first loved us while we were yet transgressors. You said transgressors are your enemies. Still came and gave your life for us while we were yet sinners, to have your mind and to walk in your ways. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. Probably won't do another part to this until next Sabbath to continue in this. So that, you know, we look at his prayer and break it down as he taught us the prayer, our forefathers to pray. So do we be praying today. So may the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear Yah and keep the commandments, saints. For this is our whole duty. Shalom.
What can I do if I I don't have you. It's all about you. This is how to mend with me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahoo.
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Amen. Whatever you just said.
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Amen. Amen. We all have to do that. Peace and blessings. Enjoy the rest of your life, brother. Shalom.